Well, turn in your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Psalm 23. If you don't have a Bible handy, it will be on the screen. And I'm going to put this out front right now. Again, we're going to have just a slightly abbreviated service this morning so we can get out. But we're going to look at communion this morning from Psalm 23. So while you're finding Psalm 23, let me pray for us. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us together here this morning. We're thankful that we get to gather to worship you, to praise you, to study your word, to be in your presence, and to be transformed by you. And so, Lord, we just continue to invite you to come and to have your way, Lord. Now, teach us from your word. Teach us from this beautiful Psalm 23. Lord, may every word that comes out of my mouth be straight from your heart. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we just ask for blessings and protection over Ben as he heads back home and back to work this evening. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, again, I want to look at Psalm 23 today and look at all of the imagery that's in it that we can relate to this communion table. Of course, Psalm 23 perfectly represents Jesus, and the communion table is Jesus, so it makes sense, right? But let's read the psalm together, and then we'll pick it apart. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, of course, we all know that the shepherd's job was to protect the sheep, right? The shepherd was to be there, to be in the pasture, and to protect the sheep from any potential enemies or predators that might come and try to attack the sheep. Well, Jesus is, of course, the shepherd, the good shepherd, our shepherd. He has laid down his life for us, the sheep. Jesus himself refers to himself as the shepherd and says, "The hired hand will run and flee, but I have come to protect you." Jesus comes to save us from the attacks of the enemy. Can I get an amen? I was worried about you there for a minute. This communion table represents Jesus as the shepherd. These elements here remind us that he has come to protect us and that he has laid down his life, unlike the hired hand. This verse goes on to say that we will not be in want. You see, the shepherd's job was to lead the sheep to green pasture. The shepherd's job was to take those sheep and to lead them out every day and to find fresh fields with fresh grass. Jesus is the shepherd. And he not only leads us, he becomes our sustenance. Jesus is the bread of life. He doesn't just lead us to green pastures. He is the bread of life. In this communion meal, we eat his body and we drink his blood. And that reminds us that he is the one who sustains us. We could eat all the earthly food in the world, but if Jesus' breath is in us, we remain alive. He is the one who sustains us as the good shepherd. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Again, the shepherd was to lead the sheep to new pastures with fresh grass and to lead them to safe, clean water to drink. But with Jesus, it's different. It says that he makes us lie down. This is a causative statement in the Hebrew. He makes us lie down, and yet he does not force us. How does that work? His provision, his grace, his care, his mercy are so great that we are left with no option but to lay down and rest in the provision of his grace. Do you see that? He doesn't just lead us there. He is. He is the living water. He is the bread of life. Jesus is the living water that causes us to never thirst again. And he leads us to that well, and he becomes that constant source of refreshing in us. And this communion table, again, reminds us of that provision and that grace. These elements remind us that Jesus meets all of our hunger and all of our thirst and sustains us in a way that when we are aligned with him, we will never hunger or thirst again. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The reality of living on this side of heaven is that we have an enemy in the devil. Anyone ever heard of him? The devil is out to destroy our soul. But Jesus came to defeat the enemy and restore our soul. The communion table is proof that our soul is restored because death has been dealt with. Amen? The enemy comes to deceive us, if that were possible, and attempt to lead us into a life of sin. Jesus came to overcome the works of the devil and lead us into righteousness. You see, here's the thing. Catch this. When we eat these communion elements, we become righteous. Not because we ate them, not because there's something special about the bread and the juice. But when we eat them, we become righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross, on our behalf. In God's kingdom, righteousness only comes through blood sacrifice and repentance. This table reminds us of Jesus' blood sacrifice and invites us into repentance. We confess our sins. We come to this table. We eat them. And we receive the righteousness that Jesus has given us. We receive the restoration of our soul. And he does all of this. He guides us into all of this for his name's sake. We don't come and eat this table for our own sake, although it is for our benefit. And we don't come and eat from this table for the sake of the vineyard, although it's a great thing to do in the vineyard. We come and we eat from this table because of Jesus. His name, for his name's sake, in our lives and in the kingdom. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the enemy held death over humanity, didn't he? But we no longer have to fear death. Jesus overcame death when he rose from the grave. Communion reminds us that Jesus rose from the grave. Communion reminds us that we no longer have to be fearful when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We also don't have to fear evil. Jesus made this great statement. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If Jesus has all authority, how much does the enemy have? Yeah. So this table reminds us that Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and to take his life up again. Something the enemy could not do. And so this communion table, again, reminds us that the enemy is defeated. Only those who reject God and walk in the ways of evil have to fear. But the care of Jesus in the rod and the staff, they protect me from evil ways. For years, I grew up in a tradition that always saw the rod and the staff as discipline. The rod and the staff are protection. They're care. They're comfort. Why would we impose onto Jesus symbolism that doesn't exist in the real world? How did the shepherd use his staff? Sheep can't back up. They don't have reverse. They head into a thicket, or they head into a ditch. They head in somewhere. They can't get out. So the shepherd would come with his staff, hook it around the sheep's neck, and pull them out. That's care. That's protection. You see, Jesus, when he uses those same methods of care and protection for me, then I don't have to fear walking in the ways of evil. Because I know that he is always there, and he always has those instruments of his care, and he will come to my rescue even when I boneheadedly go into a thicket. Amen? Communion reminds us that Jesus will go all out and all in for the one lost sheep. He goes all out to rescue that one that has fallen into a pit. He will leave the 99 behind and come looking for the one. And that's really good news if you're the one, isn't it? Communion table reminds us of that. Verse 5. Have you ever known me to cover a passage so quickly? Are you as shocked as I am? Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Jesus prepares a table of abundance for us. This can speak of Jesus' total care and total provision for us, but I believe even this statement in Psalm 23 was a prophetic foreshadowing of this table. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's talking about this table. But here's the best part. Jesus prepares the table right in front of the devil. Jesus Let me rephrase that. The devil has to sit and watch Jesus prepare the table. The devil has to sit and watch us eat from the table. And every time we eat from the communion table, we are reminded that the devil is defeated. But it gets even better. It always does with Jesus. The devil can't touch this table unless we let him. Look at the verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's preparing the table for us. The devil was not invited to the party. The devil cannot come and touch our righteousness, our salvation, our forgiveness, or our provision unless we let him touch it. This is so important to understand. This is God's provision for us. The devil's not invited to this party, so don't let him in. If he knocks at the door, say, "We gave it the office." Then it says that Jesus anoints our head with oil and makes our cup overflow. Anointing of a sheep's head with oil was a sign of provision and care. It actually helped the sheep be healthy and prevented certain pests. The shepherd would actually take the oil and rub it in the sheep's ears and all over their head because it kept the flies and other things away that would lay eggs in their ears and in their wool. So it's a sign of protection and care. And Jesus does that for us. It says he makes our cup overflow. Who would like an overflowing cup? Sign me up. Right? And the communion table reminds us of that care that Jesus has for us. This communion table reminds us that he sees the flies trying to lay eggs in our ears. This communion table and this cup reminds us of the abundance that he has for us and the things that will overflow. Now, in terms of with people, the anointing was actually a sign of honor. We see that in Scripture where they would anoint someone's head with oil as a sign of honor, right? Here in this, again, it's the shepherd analogy. It's what the shepherd does. You anoint my head with oil. But when we put it into earthly terms, it's a sign of honor. Do you get that Jesus honors us? In this table, we are reminded that Jesus honored us above all else. Yeah, ooh, Rick. The communion table reminds us of the care, the protection, our health, our abundance, the honor, all of these things that Jesus brings. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and love will follow me. Who is goodness? Jesus. It's not a trick question. Jesus is goodness. Who is following us all the time? Jesus. Jesus is good. Everything about him is good. Everything he does is good. The communion table reminds us of his goodness. Every time that we come in here and we see these elements sitting up here or in the back, we're reminded that his goodness is pursuing us. And I can't escape it. That's why I read that from Psalm 139 this morning. There's a great part in that psalm that says, you can't get away from him. If I go up to the depths, or if I go up to the heights, if I go down to the depths, where can I flee from your presence? The communion table also represents love. It says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Jesus is also love. God is love. The communion table screams of Jesus' love for us. Both the goodness of God and the love of God are constantly pursuing us all the days of my life, even when I don't deserve it, and they're perfectly represented in this communion table. The communion table reminds us that God's love and mercy are actually chasing us down. You see, it goes on to say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The devil intended that we would dwell with him in hell. But because of Jesus' goodness, because of his love, because of what is represented here, he chased us down and ensured that we now will dwell in his house forever and not in the devil's house. Who wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Sign me up. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave ensured that we will live with him forever in heaven. And this communion table is again the perfect representation that heaven is our home and not hell. Amen? That's a world record for me. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, which symbolizes his body. Think about it. He told his disciples, I am the bread of life. And then he took this bread with all of its Passover symbolism. And he said, now this is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this, whenever you eat of this, do so in remembrance of me. Remembering his goodness, remembering his love, remembering how he defeated the enemy, remembering how he chased us down when we were running from him. The good shepherd is to lead us into green pastures. It doesn't get any greener than this. There is no more life than what's represented here in this. This is the sustenance of life in the body of Christ. And again, after the supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he says, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you, a new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, in the Old Testament covenant system, the only way to atone for sin, and even then temporarily, was for a sacrifice of blood. An animal had to be sacrificed. Or they would put blood on the horns of the altar. But Jesus came to do away with that messy, sacrificial, bloody system. He came to shed his blood, this blood, once and for all, so that all of the benefits of God's kingdom could be made available to us now. Can you believe it? So whenever we drink of this cup, we are reminded of his goodness and his mercy pursuing us. Amen? The way we do communion here is you'll take a piece of the bread, you'll dip it into the juice, you'll receive them together. All who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to join us at this table. There's a station here, and there's a station in the back under the discipleship banner. The worship team is going to lead us into a song, and just prepare your hearts. Go back to that, the verses 23 and 24 from Psalm 139 that I read earlier. Lord, know my anxious thoughts, know my heart. See if there's anything offensive in me. And if there is, whatever that anxiousness is, whatever that offensive nature is, bring it here to this table and leave it there. Because this blood will cleanse you from it. Amen.